You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
My name is Emily, and this is how I finally broke free from the man who was sucking the life out of me. It was a Tuesday evening in early fall, the kind where the leaves were just starting to turn, but the air still hung heavy with summer's regret. David and I were sitting at our kitchen table, the one I'd bought with my bonus from the marketing firm where I worked 60-hour weeks. He had his usual mug of Earl Grey in front of him, steam curling up like the endless stream of words pouring from his mouth. "You know, Em, I was thinking about that investment opportunity I told you about last week. The guy's got this app idea. It's like Uber, but for dog walkers. Revolutionary, right? I just need a little seed money to get in on the ground floor." I nodded faintly, stirring my own tea, watching the spoon clink against the porcelain. I'd heard variations of this pitch 100 times.
"Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
David hadn't held a job in years. Not since his startup failed spectacularly, leaving us, me, with the debt. He lived off my salary, my savings, my everything. I was the one climbing the corporate ladder, dealing with asshole bosses and endless Zoom calls, while he lounged around the house, networking on his phone. Pathetic leech, that's what he was. I whispered it to myself in the mirror for months, feeling the resentment build like poison in my veins. That night, I'd finally had enough. I'd slipped the rat poison into his sugar bowl earlier. Just a pinch, enough to make it look like a heart attack. The doctor had warned him about his blood pressure, after all. I sipped my tea slowly, listening to him drone on about his big plans. "And once it takes off, we'll be set, babe. No more of this 9-to-5 grind for you. We'll travel. Paris, Rome, you name it." "Uh-huh," I murmured, my eyes fixed on the clock. He took another gulp, oblivious as always. He never noticed how quiet I'd become, how I barely looked at him anymore. Why would he? I was just the ATM in a skirt. We finished our cups at around the same time. I set mine down gently, stood up without a word. He paused mid-sentence, his eyes glazing over, drooping like he was fighting sleep. Em, you okay? His head thudded against the table, a dull sound that echoed in the empty kitchen. I waited a beat, and then I leaned over and pressed my fingers to his neck. No pulse. Nothing. Just silence. Finally. I cleared the table methodically, washed the cups, wiped down the surfaces, tucked the sugar bowl back into the cabinet. And then I grabbed the suitcase that I'd packed that morning, hidden in the hall closet. Goodbye, I said to his slumped form and walked out the door. The cool air hit my face like a baptism. I drove straight to O'Hare, caught a red eye to New York, and never looked back. The police ruled it a natural death. High cholesterol. Stress from unemployment. They bought the story that I'd planted with his doctor visits. I sold the house remotely, transferred the money, and started over in Brooklyn. A fresh start, I told myself. At 32, I was still young enough to rebuild. I got a job at a boutique ad agency, the kind with ping pong tables and free kombucha. For the first time in years, I felt alive. Dating was supposed to be the fun part. I'd download the apps, Bumble, Hinge, even Tinder for the thrill. I'd swipe on young, handsome guys, the ones with abs and startup jobs of their own. My first date was with Alex, a 28-year-old software engineer with dimples and a laugh that made my stomach flip. We met at a trendy bar in Williamsburg, sipping craft cocktails under string lights. So, what do you do for fun, Emily? He asked, leaning in close. I smiled, feeling the spark. Travel, yoga, the usual. But lately just exploring the city. What about you? Oh man, I love hiking upstate. We should go sometime. Get away from all this noise. It was going well. Really well. Until I glanced at his face mid-sentence. And there it was. David's features overlaying Alex's like a glitch in reality. The drooping eyes. The slack jaw from that final moment. My heart pounded, bile rising in my throat. I have to go. I stammered, grabbing my coat. Wait, what? Did I say something wrong? No, it's me. Sorry. I bolted, hailing a cab outside, tears streaming down my face. It happened again and again. With Jake, the artist from Soho. You're amazing, Emily. Tell me about your job. Poof. David's ghost. With Ryan, the finance bro. Let's grab dessert at my place. Nope. Husband's face. Trauma hitting like a truck. I'd leave them confused, mid-conversation. My phone buzzing with unanswered texts. What happened? Did I offend you? I couldn't explain it. The guilt, the memory, it haunted me. I started therapy, but even my shrink couldn't make it stop.
PTSD from the loss, she said.
Yeah, right. Months dragged on. I was exhausted, lonely. I threw myself into work, climbing to senior director. And then, one rainy afternoon, I ran into Harold at the corner deli in my neighborhood. He was in his late 60s, silver hair, kind eyes behind bifocals. We'd nodded at each other before. He lived a few doors down, a retired accountant or something.
Emily, right? Nasty weather out there.
He said, holding the door for me. Yeah, feels like it'll never stop. Have you been, Harold?
Oh, same old. Picking up some bagels. Care to join me for drinks sometime? No pressure, just neighborly.
I hesitated, but what the hell? He wasn't young or handsome. No risk of the ghost appearing.
Sure, why not? Tomorrow at the Spaniards?
We met the next day. Harold was charming in a grandfatherly way, full of stories from his youth. Over wine, he opened up.
You know, I had a good life. Traveled the world. Played golf every weekend. My wife, God rest her soul, she was the breadwinner. Corporate lawyer, always in meetings. I stayed home, managed the house. It worked for us.
I sipped my wine, intrigued. Really? Most men I know would have hated that. He chuckled.
Nah, I loved it. She slaved away, and I reaped the benefits. Lazy, maybe. But she never complained. Died too young. Heart attack at 55.
His words hit close, but no ghost, no David, just a strange sense of kinship. Sounds familiar, I muttered. Harold's words sinking into me like a stone.
She slaved away, and I reaped the benefits.
My stomach churned. This man, with his kind eyes and gentle smile, was just another David, another leech, living off a woman's hard work, proud of it, even. I could barely look at him, his silver hair catching the bar's light like some halo he didn't deserve. Disgust crawled up my throat.
Sounds like you had it made, I said, forcing a tight smile, my voice flat.
I pushed my chair back a little, the screech of wood on tile louder than it meant to be. Harold chuckled, oblivious.
Oh, I did. Margaret was a firecracker. Always working, always moving. I just kept the home fires burning, you know?
Yeah, I know, I muttered, my fingers tightening around the glass. I couldn't do this. Not again. Not with another man who thought that a woman's sweat was his free ride. Excuse me, Harold, I need to hit the restroom.
Sure thing,
he said, waving a hand, already reaching for nachos like nothing was wrong.
I'll be here.
I grabbed my purse and headed to the back, my heels clicking on the floor, each step a countdown to getting the hell out. In the bathroom, I locked the door and leaned against the sink, staring at my reflection. My face looked tired, the lines around my eyes deeper than they should be at 32. I'd left David behind, burned my old life to the ground. But here I was, sitting across from his echo. Pathetic. I wasn't sticking around for this. I'd ghost Harold, block his number, avoid the deli for a month. Done. I splashed cold water on my face, ready to slip out the back if I had to. Then, the door creaked open. I froze. I'd locked it, hadn't I? Harold stood there.
Harold, what the...
I started, stepping back, my purse slipping to the floor.
You seemed upset, he said, his voice low, almost calm. Thought we should talk.
This is the woman's bathroom. Get out! But he didn't. He moved fast, too fast for a man his age, grabbing my arm and spinning me around. My hands hit the sink, the cold porcelain biting into my palms.
Harold, stop!
I yelled, but his grip tightened. I froze, my breath catching, panic flooding my veins.
Shh, Emily,
he whispered.
You want this, I can tell.
I wanted to scream, to claw his eyes out. But my body betrayed me, a sick twist of heat curling low in my stomach as he moved. Tears stung my eyes, spilling down my cheeks, my reflection in the mirror a mess of fear and something else, something I hated myself for feeling. I was trapped, caught between disgust and a twisted, unwanted thrill. And then I saw it in the mirror. Harold's face shifted. His silver hair darkened, his jaw sharpened, his eyes drooped into that familiar, lifeless gaze. David. It was David's face staring back at me, his ghost leering through Harold's body. My knees buckled, a scream lodged in my throat. The world spun, and all I could see was him, my dead husband, back to haunt me. He will never let me live. I was 19, stumbling through my first semester at a community college in the sleepy suburb outside Chicago. Mom and I lived in a cramped two-bedroom apartment that always smelled like her cheap lavender candles, the kind that she bought in bulk from Walmart to cover up the stale air. She was a single mom, working double shifts at the diner downtown, always coming home with grease stains on her uniform and that exhausted smile that she plastered on for me. Dad had split when I was 5, and she'd raised me alone ever since, dating a string of losers who never stuck around. I guess that's why I turned out the way I did. Nerdy, awkward, The kind of guy who buried himself in sci-fi books and old video games instead of parties or girls. College was supposed to be a fresh start, but it felt like high school all over again. I'd shuffle into the building every morning, my baggy hand-me-down jeans sagging, my faded hoodie hiding the fact that I hadn't bothered with a haircut in months. Head down, I'd pass groups of guys laughing and shoving each other, their snickers following me like shadows. "Look at that freak," one would mutter, just loud enough for me to hear. I'd pretend not to notice, eyes glued to the cracked linoleum floor. In lectures, I'd sit in the back, scribbling notes on quantum physics or whatever, but mostly doodling aliens in the margins. Lunch was me alone in the corner of the cafeteria, picking at a soggy sandwich, whispering to myself about plot holes in Star Wars. No one talked to me. Why would they? I didn't make eye contact, didn't join clubs. I was invisible, a ghost haunting the halls. After classes, I'd head straight home, lock myself in my room, and stare out the window at the gray Illinois sky. God, I wish I had a friend. I'd mumble to the empty air, my voice cracking a little. Mom would knock sometimes, her voice tired through the door. Honey, dinner's ready. You okay in there? I'd yell back that I was fine, but she knew I wasn't. Her face always looked so worried, lines etched deeper from years of scraping by. One afternoon, everything changed. It was a Thursday, I think. Overcast. The kind of day where the wind bites through your clothes. I left campus early, cutting through the path that skirted the wooded area behind the old mill. The trees loomed like silent giants, their leaves crunching under my sneakers. And that's when I saw them. A scruffy mutt bounding out of the underbrush, tongue lolling, tail whipping like a helicopter. He dropped a bone at my feet. Big, knobby, like from a deer or something, and he shook off the dirt, spraying me with mud. "Hey, boy," I said, kneeling down, my heart pounding with this weird excitement. No one ever approached me like that. I reached out, and he let me pet his wiry fur, leaning into my hand. For a second, I felt happy. Normal. Then he barked sharp, grabbed my pant leg in his teeth, and tugged hard before darting back into the woods, bone clamped in his jaws. "Wait, come back!" I shouted, scrambling after him without thinking. The sky darkened as I plunged deeper, branches snagging my clothes. The dog vanished, and suddenly I was lost, heart racing, the air thick with the smell of damp earth. I tripped over a root, or what I thought was a root, and face planted into leaves. Groaning, I pushed up and saw it. Pile of bones scattered haphazardly, white and weathered. And, sticking out of the dirt, the top of a skull, small and round, like it belonged to someone my age. Curiosity hit me like a wave. I dug with my hands, dirt caking under my nails, until I pulled out the skull. It stared back with empty sockets, but it didn't scare me. It felt familiar. A little ways off, under a mound of leaves, I spotted a faded backpack, half buried. Glancing between the bones and the bag, a smile crept onto my face. This was meant for me. I unzipped the backpack. Inside, some moldy clothes, a water bottle, and a notebook with Austin scrawled on the cover in Sharpie. "Austin," I whispered, like saying it made him real. I gathered the bones, ribs, femurs, whatever I could find, stuffing most into the backpack, the rest into mine. They clattered softly as I shouldered both bags and retraced my steps. Somehow, the woods spit me back out onto the path in minutes, like they had been waiting to release me. Mom was pacing when I got home, her apron still on from work. "Where the hell have you been? It's almost dark! I was about to call the cops!" I just grinned, this goofy smile that I couldn't wipe off. I was with my friend, Austin. Her eyes widened, confusion mixing with relief. "A friend? Really? Oh, honey, that's great!" She hugged me quick, smelling like fryer oil, before I bolted upstairs. In the room, door locked, I pulled out the bones. Using wire from my desk drawer and a hanger from the closet, I assembled him like in my biology textbook. Skeleton hanging there, skull perched on top. "Hey, Austin," I said, stepping back. "Welcome home." For the next few days, life felt different. I'd wake up smiling, chat with Austin while getting ready. "College sucks, man, but at least I got you now." At the college, I still kept to myself, but I didn't feel so alone. Mom noticed, too. Over breakfast one morning, she said, "You seem happier. Tell me about this Austin kid." "He's cool," I replied, shoveling cereal. "We hang out after class. Talks a lot about adventures." She beamed. "I'm so glad, sweetie. You deserve friends." One afternoon, I came home to screams echoing from upstairs. I dropped my bag and ran up, hard in my throat. Mom was in my room, backed against the wall, pointing at the closet. "What the f*** is that? Oh my God, what have you done?" Austin hung there, wire glinting in the light. "Mom, that's Austin, my friend." She whirled on me, face pale, tears streaming. "That's a skeleton! Human bones! Where did you get this? Are you insane?" "No, he's real. I found him in the woods. He's my only friend." I was crying now, snot running, voice breaking.
"Please don't take him away."
"Get rid of it, now!" she shrieked, grabbing my arm. "This is sick! You're crazy! You need help!" I yanked free, rage boiling up. She wanted to take him? After everything? "You don't understand. You've got your boyfriends coming and going like I'm not even here. Jamie, that asshole from the bar? Yeah, I know about him." "Don't you dare! Get that thing out or I'm calling the police!" I stormed to my desk and yanked open my laptop. "Fine, but look at this first." I pulled up the folder, hidden deep, encrypted. Videos that I'd secretly recorded over the years. There she was with Jamie, going wild, screaming his name. Mom gasped, hand over her mouth.
How did...
"I've got more," I said, voice cold. "With Mike, with that guy from work last year. Whole library. I'll upload them all to Reddit. Tag your name, your work. Everyone will see what a freak you are." She collapsed onto the bed, sobbing.
"Please, no, I'm your mother. Why would you do this?"
"Because Austin stays," I snarled. "He's all I have. You take him, I ruin you." She looked up, broken.
Okay. He stays. Just delete them."
"I won't. Insurance." I closed the laptop. Heart pounding, but triumphant. Things settled after that. Uneasy peace. Mom avoided my room, her eyes hollow when she looked at me. But she didn't fight. A week later, we sat at dinner. Spaghetti she had made, her hands shaking as she served. Austin was there too, propped in a chair at the table, skull grinning blankly. "Pass the salt, Austin," I said, chuckling to myself.
I've been a yoga instructor for 6 years. I love it. I work in a rural area, so I have a small but loyal group of customers. I feel like I really get to know them all. On Tuesday and Thursday mornings, I have my beginner class. Until recently, that group was my favorite. It was mostly older women who took their health very seriously, but weren't afraid to joke around. The whole vibe changed, though, when I got a new client, Nina. She was in her mid-20s, decades younger than anyone else there. She was in much better shape, too, but because of her work schedule, the beginner class was the only one she could take. Our cycles were much too easy for her. So she would constantly complain if we went too slow, or laugh at the other women if they needed extra help. I had to speak with her several times, but she never changed her attitude. A few women transferred to another group just to get away from her. It got so bad I had to kick her out. If she couldn't behave herself, she wasn't welcome. Well, you're the only yoga studio in town, so I'm going to keep coming. You can either accept my money or not. I wasn't going to call the cops on her, so I just dropped it. In our next class, she came back just as bitchy as ever. After a while, everyone got used to ignoring her comments. Now that she didn't get any reactions, she started behaving herself, more or less. And then we got another student, the only male in the group. He was a Chinese man in his 50s, wonderful guy. Everyone called him Mr. Lee. He was a gentleman, very soft-spoken. He said he joined the class in honor of his late wife, Lily. She recently died when a drunk driver hit their car. With her dying words, she made him promise to take care of himself after she was gone. It was a very heavy story to share on his first class. Everyone offered him sympathy except for Nina, who pretended to cry but was actually giggling. I didn't scold her because Mr. Lee didn't realize she was laughing at his tragedy, and I didn't want to make the situation worse. Mr. Lee attended the classes for several weeks, easily making friends with everyone except Nina. He brought potted plants and homemade food as gifts, which I guess is traditional in his culture. For the most part, Nina behaved herself, though she'd still scoff at him and make snide remarks at his limited flexibility. And then, during one class, he brought mooncakes for everyone to try. He said it was a mid-autumn tradition, and this was his first year making them himself. I know they won't be as good as Lily's, but this is my way to honor her memory. I thought it tasted wonderful. Everyone did, including Nina. I could see the satisfaction on her face as she ate it. But just to be a bitch, she acted like it was disgusting. Maybe try someone else's recipe next time. Your wife adds way too much flour. Mr. Lee immediately started crying and ran into the changing room. That one little insult really got to him. I felt terrible. I demanded that Nina go into the back and apologize to him. She grumbled like a child but did as I said. I had a feeling she was going to be her usual nasty self, so I told the other ladies to keep warming up and I followed her. I waited outside the door, trying to listen in, hoping that Nina would act like an adult. But what I heard through the door horrified me. Mr. Lee, I am so sorry for what I did. You know, you're a very handsome man. Don't you think it's time you moved on? Do you like me? What the hell? He charged out of the room and ran past me. He was gone before I could stop him. And Nina was still standing inside the changing room, smirking, proud of herself.
What? He's cute, and you told me to make it up to him.
I canceled the rest of class and gave everyone their money back. I was not in the right headspace for yoga. None of us were. The next class, I was prepared to physically throw Nina out if she came back. But when Mr. Lee arrived, looking relaxed and happy, he told me not to worry about it. All is forgiven. When Nina arrived, she put her mat right next to his. She kept giving him flirtatious glances, but he ignored her completely. I could tell he had a plan to get back at her. Good for him. After class, he pulled her aside and asked her out on a date. She didn't notice the suppressed hatred in his eyes like I did. Nina gladly accepted and went into the changing room to get ready. I approached Mr. Lee and asked him what he was up to. Just making sure that justice is served. My wife always believed in karma. He glanced over his shoulder and gave me a big smile as he walked out with Nina. Neither of them showed up to the next class and I got really worried. I didn't think Mr. Lee was capable of anything dangerous or illegal, but you never know. The next week he came back. He was in a great mood.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
I asked him if Nina was coming, and he said yes. He also told me to prepare myself. Our class might get interrupted. I had no idea what he meant. Nina arrived a few minutes later. She greeted Mr. Lee with a hug and acted really pleasant. I was very curious about what was going to happen, but I had to get the class started. We got through about 10 minutes of yoga before two police officers burst in. Everyone looked shocked except for Mr. Lee.
There she is, officer. That's the driver.
Nina started screaming as the cops grabbed her and read her rights.
What's going on? I didn't do anything.
Mr. Lee waved goodbye as they dragged her out of the room. Then he strolled over to me. Sorry for derailing the class, but I wanted everyone to see. I asked him what she was being arrested for. She's the drunk driver who killed my Lily. She's finally been caught. I couldn't believe it. This whole time, he knew that he was in class with the woman who ruined his life. I had so many questions. Why did it take you so long to call the police? Mr. Lee made sure that no one else could hear him. He looked so proud of himself. I needed time to plant the evidence on her car. I could never get over my grief because the real driver was never caught. But Nina deserves this. I feel better already.
My phone buzzed on the kitchen counter while I was elbow deep in dinner prep, spaghetti sauce simmering. It was my little brother, Jake, texting me out of the blue. He'd been saving up for months, scraping together every dollar from his part-time gig at the coffee shop, and now he had $700 burning a hole in his pocket. He wanted a computer, something decent for gaming and college stuff. "Sis, found this guy on Craigslist," his message read. "Says it's a beast of a machine, worth like a grand, but he's letting it go for 600. Can you come check it out with me?" I sighed, wiping my hands on a dish towel. Jake was 18, technically an adult, but to me, he'd always been that scrawny kid who hid behind my legs during thunderstorms. I was 28, married with two little ones of my own, and my schedule was a nightmare. Work at the hospital as a nurse, plus mom duties. "Can't, buddy," I texted back. "Shift starts soon. But send me the link. I'll look it over." He did, and I scrolled through the ad on my break. The PC sounded legit. High-end graphics card, fast processor, all the bells and whistles. The seller, some guy named Mike, seemed straightforward in his description. No red flags, like blurry photos or sketchy wording. Jake was nervous, though. "What if it's a scam?" he messaged. "Or worse." I rolled my eyes, but I got it. Craigslist could be a minefield, especially for someone as anxious as Jake. He'd always been the jumpy type, jumping at shadows since we were kids growing up in that creaky old house in suburban Ohio. "Tell him to do a Skype call," I suggested. "Show you the PC running. Open it up so I can see the components. I'll join if I can." A few hours later, during my lunch break, I hopped on the call from the nurse's lounge. Mike was this blurry figure on screen at first, but he angled the camera right. The PC lit up like a Christmas tree, fans whirring, lights glowing. He popped the side panel off and showed the guts. Shiny new motherboard. RAM sticks still in their anti-static bags nearby. Boxes for everything stacked neatly. "See? All legit," Mike said, his voice deep but friendly. "Built it myself over the year. Snagged deals on parts." "Looks good," I told Jake via text. "If you can grab it, go for it. Just meet in a public spot, like a Walmart parking lot, and text me when you're done." He agreed, excited now.
I finished my shift, picked up the kids from daycare, and crashed on the couch with a glass of wine. Hubby was out late at his job, so it was just me and the chaos. Around 8 p.m., my Skype dinged. It was Mike.
Hey, I got your brother.
My heart stopped. I mean, literally froze in my chest. The wine glass slipped from my hand, shattering on the floor, but I didn't even notice. Blood rushed to my ears, and for what felt like an eternity, 20 seconds maybe, I stared at those words.
I got your brother. What the fuck?
My mind went to the darkest places. Kidnapped? Hurt? That sick twist in my gut. The mama bear rage bubbling up. Jake was my baby brother. The one I'd protected from bullies in school. The one who had called me crying after his first breakup.
If this asshole had touched him, I'd track him down myself.
Visions flashed. Me driving through the night, pounding on doors. Hell, even grabbing the kitchen knife if I had to. No one messes with my family. Then the typing bubble appeared. Agonizing seconds ticked by.
He wanted to meet in the Walmart parking lot. We met up, and I got out to shake his hand, and he just fainted.
He's sitting in my SUV. He woke up once and just passed right back out. Fainted? Jake? I grabbed my keys, yelling at the babysitter next door to come over quick. On my way, I typed back to Mike, "Don't move." The drive to Walmart was a blur. 15 minutes of white-knuckling the steering wheel, heart pounding. What if this was a trap? But no, the Skype call had seemed normal. I pulled into the lot, scanning for Jake's beat-up Honda. There it was, parked next to a massive black SUV. I got out, phone in hand, ready to dial 911. And that's when I saw him. Mike stepped around the SUV, and holy shit, the guy was a giant. Had to be at least 7'2". Built like a goddamn linebacker crossed with a bodybuilder. Muscles bulging under his t-shirt. Arms like tree trunks. He could have bench-pressed my car without breaking a sweat. No wonder Jake fainted. The poor kid probably thought that he was about to get mugged by the Hulk.
Hey, you must be the sister, Mike said, extending a hand the size of a dinner plate.
His voice was surprisingly gentle, with a slight southern drawl.
I'm Mike. Your brother's okay. Just scared himself silly.
I shook his hand, mine disappearing in his grip.
Jesus, you're huge, I blurted out, and then laughed nervously.
What happened exactly? He chuckled, a deep rumble.
We pulled up, I got out to say hi, and bam, he went white as a sheet and dropped. I caught him before he hit the pavement, scooped him up like a sack of potatoes, and put him in the back seat to cool off. I figured he was heatstroke or something at first.
He patted my shoulder, gently, thank God, and pointed inside the SUV. There was Jake, curled up in the far back seat. Knees to his chest, looking like a terrified kitten. His face was pale, eyes wide when he saw me. I opened the door and leaned in. Jake? Buddy, you okay?
Sis, I thought he was gonna rob me. Or worse. He's so big, and when he stepped out, my brain just shut down.
I bit back a laugh, relief making me giddy. You fainted? Like Victorian lady style?
Don't laugh, he whined. But a small smile cracked.
I had $700 in cash. What if he wanted to steal it and, I don't know, touch my butt or something?
Kid, I build computers, not rob people. Mike said, shaking his head. And definitely not into that kind of thing. You scared me more than I scared you.
Jake flushed red, scrambling out of the SUV.
Sorry, man. I just panicked.
No worries, Mike replied. First time someone's passed out on me like that. Usually folks are excited about the PC. We transferred the computer parts to Jake's car. Tower, monitor, all the boxes.
As Jake loaded up, I chatted with Mike to ease the awkwardness. So, how did you get into this? He leaned against his SUV, arms crossed. Started as a hobby. I'm a truck driver by day, but I watch for sales on Newegg, Amazon. Buy parts piecemeal throughout the year, assemble them, sell them for a bit of profit. Keeps the wife happy. Extra cash for vacations. You're married? I said, surprised. He seemed like the lone wolf type. Yeah, high school sweetheart. Two kids, boy and girl. She's tiny compared to me. Always jokes I'm her personal bodyguard. He grinned. You got family? Yep. Husband and two rugrats. Nurse life keeps me busy. I glanced at Jake, who was finally relaxing, plugging in the PC in his trunk to test it quick. Mike nodded. Tough job. My sister's a nurse too. Respect. We talked shop for a bit. Family stuff. The craziness of online selling. Turned out Mike was a total teddy bear. Volunteered at his kid's school. Loved fishing on weekends. People see the size and assume I'm mean, he admitted. But hey, keeps the creeps away. Jake wandered over, PC humming in his car. It works great, man. Thanks. And, sorry again for, you know. Mike clapped him on the back lightly. All good, kid. Drive safe. We said our goodbyes, and as Jake and I drove home in convoy, he spilled more. Sis, when he said, I got your brother on Skype, what did you think? I glanced in the rearview. Honestly, I was ready to kill him. Thought he kidnapped you, or worse. He laughed, tension gone. Me too, in my head. But he's cool. Back home, kids in bed, I poured another wine and texted hubby the story. Jake set up his new rig that night, texting me pics. It was a steal. Ran like a dream. This story has been inspired from a real-life incident shared by one of our subscribers. This is what they said. My 18-year-old brother found a $1,000 PC on Craigslist for $600. I couldn't go, but the seller showed me everything on Skype. It looked legit, so I told him to go for it. That night, I get a message. I've got your brother. Cue instant panic. Until the next line. He saw me in the Walmart lot and fainted. He's in my SUV. Safe. I drove over. The seller was a 7-foot jacked giant. My brother? Curled up in the back seat, terrified. Turns out the guy was super nice. My brother just, short-circuited.
Our friendship started and ended in tragedy. I met Jane when we were freshmen in high school. She was the new kid. For weeks, I noticed how she awkwardly tried to join conversations and ate lunch alone. She had such a sad aura, so I decided to befriend her. One day, I sat with her at lunch, and that was that. We didn't become best friends until the party. After a few months of casually hanging out at school, Jane and I were invited to an upperclassman party. Only a few freshmen were invited, so we felt special. We decided to go together because we didn't know anyone else who was invited. I remember how desperate we were not to blow it. What it was, I'm not sure. Popularity, maybe. We pored over what to wear for hours and then pored more hours over how to do our hair and makeup. When we arrived, the party was already jumping. We weaved our way through the crowd to reach the keg. There we met Steve, a gentle-looking upperclassman. He took to Jane right away. When he looked away, Jane looked over to me and mouthed, OMG. I winked at her and gave them space to get to know each other. I fell into another crowd, passing around a joint. I didn't know how much time had passed when I realized I didn't know where Jane was. I scanned the room and she was nowhere to be seen. I got up and started looking for her. She was nowhere on the main level. I grew more nervous each passing second that I couldn't see her. It didn't seem like her to hook up with the guy, but I had only known her for a few months, or so I told myself to manage my anxiety. I made my way upstairs and started knocking and opening doors. When I reached the door at the end of the hall, I heard grunting. I knocked, No answer. I opened the door to see Steve on top of Jane, who has passed out. I yelled at him to get off. His head whipped around to face me, and he got off Jane. "It's not what it looks like," he stammered. "Sure it isn't," I scoffed. I pushed him to the side to check on Jane. He must have slipped or something, because she was barely responsive. I took one of her arms around my shoulders and lifted her up. We left. Jane pressed charges, and Steve was sent to juvie. Considering what happened later, I'm not sure Jane ever recovered from that trauma. Rather, she latched onto me because after that, we were inseparable. In her eyes, I was her savior and protector. I think she felt like she needed me, which is why she went nuts when she started to lose me. We did everything together. Jane felt safe with me, and I did what I could to protect her, which usually looked like defending her when she had trauma triggers during the school day. When the time came to apply for colleges, Jane applied to all the same colleges as me. I suggested she look into some outside my selection, but she refused. She told me she wanted to go to college with me. At this point, I was excited to expand my horizons, but I couldn't tell her no. We got into the same college, and Jane talked about living together and how we would decorate our dorm without a formal discussion. I just went along with it. I figured I already knew her, and she was clean. I talked to my mom about how I was scared I might feel suffocated, and she assured me that we would probably fall into different social circles due to our polar opposite majors. I had plans to attend med school, and Jane liked the idea of being a teacher. Honestly, in the beginning, it was great. It was nice to have a buddy as I navigated the first few weeks. Problems arose when I made plans without her. It wasn't even a fun hangout. We were studying, and she got so angry for no reason. She didn't talk to me for 2 days after that. Her silent treatment was so icy that I had to confront her about it. She told me she felt like I was intentionally leaving her out and leaving her behind for my new friends. I assured her that was not the case. They were my friends, and I was going to hang out with them, but I had no intention of leaving her behind. I asked if she had made any new friends, and she shook her head. I encouraged her to put herself out there to make new friends, and she said, "But I have you. I don't need anyone else." "Maybe you don't need anyone else, but you still might find new people you can have fun with. I can be friends with your friends." It was like something wasn't computing for her, so I shrugged and said, "Okay." Jane didn't gel with my new friends very well, to the point that they asked me not to bring her along. I listened to them. After I stopped inviting her to everything, I noticed Jane's style changed. She went from her usual preppy look to a more alt-goth look, which is how I dressed. She borrowed my clothes without asking. On multiple occasions, she copied entire outfits of mine. I got my nose pierced, Jane got her nose pierced. I dyed my hair, she dyed her hair the same color. I started doing my makeup a certain way, and so did she. Soon enough, I couldn't give her the benefit of the doubt. Jane was definitely copying me. It started getting weird when I overheard Jane talking to someone. She told them one of my stories like it had happened to her, even taking my experiences and passing them off as her own. Once I walked in on her sleeping in my bed. I wasn't entirely sure what was happening, but it was like she was trying to be me in every way. She even changed her major to pre-med, but she always hated the STEM subjects. The tipping point was when I started having a fling with this guy. We planned to have lunch with Jane. When I walked up to the table, Jane was all over him. She had her arm around his and was batting her eyelashes at him. Meanwhile, he was visibly uncomfortable. I confronted her afterward, and she acted like nothing had happened. I couldn't deal with it anymore, so I filed for a room change. We got into a heated argument. I called her out for copying me, and she played dumb. I told her she was suffocating me, and she started crying hysterically. The night after our argument, I went to bed before she got home. I didn't want to sleep with her anymore. I snuggled up in my blankets and drifted off into a peaceful sleep. At some point during the night, I woke up to a sharp pain on the side of my face. Something was pinning me down, and I couldn't move. I opened my eyes, and Jane was on top of me with a wild look in her eye. She had a small knife in one hand. "What are you doing?" I yelled. "Get off of me." She didn't budge, but moved the knife closer to my face. "Stop!" I shrieked. I shook my arms loose from her body and pushed her off. "What the hell are you doing?" After I pushed her off, she didn't fight me. Instead, she froze and stared at me like a deer in headlights. "Seriously, what are you doing? Drop the knife." She didn't drop the knife. Instead, she started to crouch. After a few seconds, she pounced on me. She kept trying to slash my face, but I was able to hold her off. I started yelling for help, and like a zombie, Jane continued her mission. Finally, someone else came into the room and pulled Jane off me. The cops came and took her in for questioning. Jane told them she was trying to steal my face. She needed it to feel safe.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
I charged her with harassment because she scarred me for life. She pled insanity and is now in a mental facility somewhere. I really hope she's getting the help she needs, but I also hope she stays far, far away from me.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.